Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Good afternoon and welcome to Family First with five-time author and top speaker Randy Rolfe. Your family may be facing a variety of issues that you'd like addressed. No two families in the world face identical problems, but Randy has seen almost all of the difficulties families today face, and she and her expert guests have the answers that you seek. Now, here is your host, Randy Rolfe.
Hello and welcome to Family First. I'm your host, Randy Rolfe, and I'm excited about today's show. We're going to be talking about family finances. Family money matters to help make a prosperous 2012. The economy today is causing hardship for many families. Parents find they're out of work or working two or three jobs to make ends meet. Folks are just happy to have a job, much less thinking about moving forward to increase their income and assets. With school and work schedules, after school events, getting dinner, paying bills, keeping house, and now focusing on extended family and holidays, who has time to think about the family's financial future? My guest this week is Thomas Weimer, a financial advisor who helps families to focus on their finances and develop an approach and plan that helps them feel more in control and more successful in achieving their dreams. Tom Weimer specializes in objective, holistic financial planning. Working with individuals and local businesses, he's able to provide expertise in areas such as retirement planning, estate planning, college funding, and business planning. Tom will offer some good ideas for getting on top of your financial life. I want to tell you a little more about his background because he has a broad financial background. Tom Weimer has been a financial advisor with 1847 Financial since 2010. Prior to joining 1847 Financial, Tom was a partner at Acquisitions Associates, LLC, providing mergers and acquisitions advisory services. He performed options, futures, and index arbitrage trading with Susquehanna International Group from 1997 to 2003, and he held the title of Manager Mutual Fund Accounting with the Vanguard Group from 1992 to 97. Mr. Weimer's contributions to his community have included membership in the Cheltenham Township Economic Development Task Force, Philadelphia Council for Business Economics, Entrepreneurs Forum of Greater Philadelphia, and the Mid-Atlantic Consultants Network. He's also a volunteer coach for Cheltenham Township Sports, and he graduated from Muhlenberg College with a dual degree in economics and accounting. He and his wife, Diana, reside in Wincote, Pennsylvania, with their 8-year-old son, Joey. So he's a parent as well. So welcome to the show, Tom.
Hi, Randy. Thank you very much for having me today.
My pleasure. So let me ask you, Tom, how did you first become interested in helping families? You have the arbitrage and some very sophisticated accounting background. So what made you want to focus on individuals and families and small business?
Well, that is funny. That was one of the main reasons that brought me into this field was the other more sophisticated financial jobs that I had were not as fulfilling because I was not out there helping people become better financial stewards of their money. I started out by helping people with families just like my own through, like you mentioned earlier, my coaching background. So I help people that I care about, and that's why I'm in this business.
Oh, that's really interesting. Yeah, my first career was as an attorney, and I got that same feeling. I was doing litigation for giant corporations. I felt like I wasn't really touching any lives.
Right.
So I know that feeling. So what would you say is the biggest financial challenge that families face today, Tom?
I think the biggest, broadest challenge facing the financial life of a family is managing all the competing priorities in their lives, such as just leading a rewarding life now, all of the monthly budgets, whether it's vacations, home improvements, to the bigger things that people face, savings for college, retirement planning. A lot of people are in a position where where do I even start dealing with these things? And that's the biggest thing I'm seeing people facing.
Yeah, the competing priorities. I certainly know a lot of people dealing with that. So, what kinds of trends have you seen over the last 15 years or so as far as the problems people bring to you as their financial advisor?
They're really a lot of the same. It's how do I do these at the same time? How can I save for college and still have a retirement for myself? That seems to be the biggest recurring theme when I'm talking to families, particularly younger families, is how do we do all these things and do it right and come out on top at the end?
Do you find that parents are more or less savvy than they were a generation ago about when you try to explain these different concepts to them?
That's funny. I think you have to be more savvy. The number of financial products out there has just grown exponentially. So it's imperative to understand what's out there. Starting with healthcare, people need to become much more savvy healthcare consumers because it's no longer, a one plan takes care of everything world out there for most employees. So people are definitely getting more savvy, and there's still a lot of room to go. There's still room to talk to a financial advisor because just the world has become that much more complex.
And I would think that they'd be much more on guard now, too, since the recession and all the troublesome things that went on with the home financing. And for most people, that's their biggest asset. So do you find that they're reacting to that, too, that they need to know more because so many people were sucked in by easy money?
Yes, very much so. It's funny. A lot of when I tell someone that I'm a financial advisor, they say, oh, poor you. I'd hate to be you in this market. But in this environment, people are looking for advice. They have gotten burned by past decisions that they've made or bad advice, and they're looking to, the time's running out. I don't have 30 years anymore till I'm going to retire. I need to sit down, talk to someone, and really figure this plan out. So yeah, I certainly agree with that.
Do you find that you mentioned young families? Do you find that you also have baby boomers who are have older families and are looking at a retirement that's not quite there?
Absolutely. That's as you read the papers, that's one of the bigger issues out there is people who are pondering their retirement right now is, do I have enough money? Will Social Security be there for me? Those are our big issues. So we need to do with people in that position, the baby boomers who are thinking about retirement, we're really sitting down with them and doing some income scenario planning is, how can we help you make this happen?
I like that income scenario planning. That sounds, it sounds holistic. Like I mentioned that, you say you take a holistic approach.
Absolutely.
So what does that mean to you, that holistic, the income scenario? What are the principal concerns that you want to bring to people's attention when you talk to them?
Right. When I'm looking at someone's holistic plan, I'm looking at every aspect of their financial life and making sure that it fits together. I'm not just looking at your 401k or your assets. I'm looking at your insurance coverages as well and making sure that they are all working together and you have one cohesive financial plan that is taking you in the right direction as efficiently as possible.
That's cool. Do you find that is there a template or is everybody a little different?
Oh, yeah, there's certainly not a template. Everyone's financial position or everyone's financial situation is different. And we need to look at, and everyone's goals are different. So we need to take those things into consideration and help tailor a financial plan for each individual family.
So they have different health, different number of children, different age, different job.
Absolutely, want to retire at different times. Some people have different views as to whether or not they're paying for their children's education. Some people say, think that's a number one priority and they're paying for 100% of it. Other folks who paid for college themselves thought that was a great learning experience for them, and you know they think that's important for their kids to be show the resourcefulness to figure out how to pay for college themselves. So everyone's got different ideas of how that's going to happen for their individual families.
So they have their own values around different aspects of money,
absolutely,
whether to pay for college or not. Can I ask what happens if you find that, say, a husband and wife have different ideas about something like that, whether the child should put themselves through college by themselves or not? Do you end up doing a little counseling there, or
the counseling? But it does happen, and like anything else in a family, there's going to be some compromise. There's going to be a lot of learning as to why someone is holding that position, and helping them come to a reasonable decision about that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. As a family counselor, it helps so much just to draw out kind of moderate a conversation that they may not have had before about why do you feel that way and what are you trying to accomplish.
Right. Get to the underlying reason as to why you're holding this strong conviction. I think both sides can understand and come to a third, better solution.
That sounds good. So can we go through some of these issues and consider what you might bring to a person's attention who came to you for your financial advice, like starting with, say, insurance? You mentioned earlier that's an important part of the whole picture. So you're talking about health insurance, car insurance, house insurance, business insurance.
Right. I personally do not get involved in any type of home or auto insurance, so I would be mainly talking to someone about their life and disability and health insurances.
Mm-hmm.
I think insurance is the cornerstone of a family's financial plan. Protecting your future income to ensure your family's financial survival is one of the greatest gifts that you can give. Any competent financial advisor can help you understand how much coverage you should have based on your goals and help you position this financial asset in your total financial plan so that it is accomplishing other financial goals for you as well.
And so many people nowadays, their lives are prolonged because
right.
of medical advances
thing, right?
where they may become disabled or dependent, and it seems long-term care might be important there, and it can be quite expensive. I was very grateful my mother did invest in long-term care, although in the end she didn't need it, but it gave her peace of mind and also her children.
Absolutely.
To know that if she did have that need, it would be taken care of. So that makes a lot of sense. What about savings? And I wanted to mention the car and house, you don't get involved in that, but that is a piece of their budget. You know, it can be a couple thousand dollars at least to cover cars and house. So that has to fit into the annual demands on their
budget, certainly.
Income. Yeah. So what about savings? What can you say to people today when they're like, I don't have any, I'm trying
right.
to spend money on Christmas here?
Right. And in general, I would, everyone's financial situation is different, but just as a general rule of thumb, I'm recommended to clients to have at least 3 to 6 months of your living expenses in some sort of a safe liquid savings account. And that's just a nice emergency fund to have. It takes a lot of stress out of a family life, knowing that if something happens at work, that there is some sort of backstop where they're going to be able to have a couple months to get back on their feet.
That makes sense. I'm sure you're familiar with the automatic millionaire, the idea of,
absolutely.
skipping a latte once a
right.
day and putting it away. Do you get people on that kind of thinking?
Right. We're certainly, when we sit down with a client, we're certainly looking at their monthly budget, where they're spending money, where we think we can save. You know, we see a lot of budget, so we can see when someone might be spending a little more money than other people are in certain areas, whether it be car insurance or they're spending way too much at restaurants or at the coffee shop. We can point that out and say this might be an opportunity for you to take money from that category and put it to savings. We certainly would and do have that conversation.
That's cool. So you really get down to the practical daily choices that they make if that's what they want to look at.
Absolutely.
That's really cool. So I want to talk a little bit about investments. If people are, whether they have a job or if they're self-employed, and we're coming up on a break, so we'll just get started on this question. But what's the general introduction that you might recommend to a family that is looking to build retirement and a college fund, you know,
right,
that kind of thing?
As part of their investment plan, that once again is tough to give advice on a broad sense like this. What I'd say to people is at the minimum, according to their investments, would be to at least go into your company's 401k plan at the level at the company's matching at the minimum, and looking at their monthly budget. If they can go beyond that, we talk to people as to whether that's appropriate to do that or to put it in those investments in another vehicle which might be more appropriate to them outside of the 401k.
And what about people who are self-employed or have two part-time jobs? What's the best approach for them?
There are multiple ways that someone can put money away in a tax-advantaged way. I would sit down with someone and talk about their broad goals. I couldn't get into any type of specifics as to what type of account would be best, because it really would be an individual decision. So it would be something I would need to sit down with someone individually. But if someone's in that type of situation and they're unsure of what to do, they should certainly sit down and talk to a financial advisor and talk about what their situation and their goals. And there are many, many different types of tax advantage ways that someone could put money away if they don't have a company 401k plan to put money into.
Okay, well, Tom, we're up on a break, so we'll be back shortly and we'll get more insights about family matters and looking towards a prosperous 2012.
Okay, thanks, Randy.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters. Whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance, Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RANDYROLFE.com. Your family will thank you.
Hi, I'm Neil Haley, host of the Total Education Network. We're the only education talk show that airs shows 7 days a week on different stations. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org to learn about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide news and provide tips for parents. Please go to my website at TotalTutor.org for more information. Remember, the talk shop for teachers, parents, and administrators, TotalTutor.org.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're talking about family matters for a more prosperous 2012, and we're talking with Thomas Weimer, who's a financial advisor with 1847 Financial in the Philadelphia area, and he's previously worked with Susquehanna International Group and the Vanguard Group, and very active in economic organizations in the Philadelphia area. And we've been talking about what families need to be thinking about going into the new year, and he's been explaining how he takes a holistic approach of looking at the whole financial picture for the family, even down to the monthly budget and daily expenses, if that will help get the savings and investments going. So, Tom, thanks for your insights. And I wanted to move on to questions about taxes. What do you, you can only speak in general here,
right.
But the taxes for a family, they face, there's so many different taxes now, and you know, we're waiting for the payroll tax to reduction to be extended and that kind of thing. There's a lot of uncertainty about it. So what are the general comments you give to families about taxing?
Right, taxes is just a fact of life, and when I'm talking to them about taxes, I'm always urging people to consider the tax, any type of tax consequences when they're making any type of financial decision. So whether it being what type of investment account to invest in, whether you're going to put something in an account that's going to defer your current taxes, you're going to put something in a 401k plan or an IRA that will grow tax deferred. These are all decisions that need to make in a holistic manner to make sure you're minimizing your tax bill currently and making decisions that make sense for you when you start drawing on that retirement money as well. Obviously, it'd be better to have money that's coming out tax-free when you're looking to spend it rather than paying taxes when you're looking to use your retirement money as well. So it's a balancing act that people need to understand what they're doing with these types of retirement accounts, and that's one of the things that we help people walk through along with their CPA.
Cool. Now, do you review once a year with them what's going on, or how do you keep in touch with that balancing act?
It depends on the relationship that we have with our clients. A lot of times when we do an annual review, we will sit down with their CPA as well, and if that's appropriate, and discuss taxes and how it's affecting them this past year, this coming year, 10 years down the road, and have intelligent discussions about tax planning with our other tax advisor.
Okay. And so what about the topic of retirement? When, like you said early on, that people are like, do I pay for my kids' college, or am I going to be able to retire? Don't want to be a burden on the kids. So what are some suggestions about retirement in general?
When I'm thinking about retirement planning, some of these commercials out there now make me laugh, where they're carrying around this large, ridiculous number that they need for retirement. That's not really how I approach it. I'm thinking of retirement more as an annual amount of money that you need in retirement, whether they want to replace 100% of their income that they have now, or a lot of people look at a benchmark like, I'm going to need 75% of my current income when I live in retirement. We look at what that number is. We look at some, try to project some inflation numbers into that and determine in an annual basis how much money am I going to need and what are some of the ways that I can get there. What do we think Social Security is going to provide for me in retirement? Do I have a company pension plan? Look at some of these monthly and annually income assets that may be held and look at it from more of an, like we mentioned earlier, holistic income planning process rather than trying to accumulate some big, large number that's intimidating people and probably not even encouraging them to start because it's such a daunting task.
Yeah, they can just give up and say, well, what will come, let come what may.
Right. I'll work till I'm 70.
Right, right. And we see people doing that. So your accounting background must help with that, doing all those calculations and amortizing their retirement incomes and so on. So how about talking about a mortgage? A lot of there's been a trend recently because of the trouble with mortgages that people are doing. More people are renting now than investing in a home. Partly out of necessity if they've been foreclosed on, but
right.
but a lot of young people are saying, well, I don't even want to go there. So how do you handle those issues, Tom?
That is really one of those things that's going to be a personal issue for a family, as to do they have the money to put a down payment. Sometimes, you know, depending on the region of the country, renting is just a more viable, acceptable option for someone. And that's really going to be a personal choice, I think. And, you know, mortgage advisors are out there to help people get someone in the best rate with the best deal that they can get. So that's whether they own or rent, I think that it's really a personal decision. And I think a lot of the, you know, local real estate markets drive those types of decisions as to what makes sense for a family.
Yeah, so that would be another one of those areas where we would just encourage them to find out what their goals are.
Absolutely. Do school districts matter? That's, you know, when I talk to people who are considering houses, which and the mortgages that go along with them, is that's really one of the driving forces. You know, am I in the right school district for my kids and my family?
Right, right. So you mentioned earlier about helping people look at their monthly budget and see. I think it can be really helpful for people to learn what a typical family does if they realize they're spending, you know, five times as much on clothing as other people. It might be helpful, or a lot less on food, and that's why they have health challenges and with
right.
their kids or something like that. I think that must take some time on your part to help them take a look at that.
Yes, well, there are some resources out there to make that less of a daunting task. I think at a minimum, I think people should at least know where they've spent their money in the past. So going back a year, how much have you spent on these various categories, whether it be food, dining out, what they're spending on their utilities, and really understanding what's happened in the past. And once you're at that point, you know, where you're taking it to the next level, is, you know, especially as we're sitting here in December looking into the next year, is planning out your next year. What are your expenditures? What do you want them to be each month? And having a plan and tracking progress against that plan. And that's really what the budgeting process is all about. So there are a couple free resources out there that I encourage people to use who are really just starting out in this budgeting process for a household. I think probably the easiest one for people to grasp and get their hands around and use is called mint.com.
What was that again?
It's Mint, MINT.com.
Oh.
And they provide a free software that helps people track a monthly budget.
Well, I'm all about family relationships, and I think just even looking back at the year could make a difference in the dialogue within the family. And my husband and I wrote a book about dialoguing to improve relationships, and money can be a big issue where, you know, somebody's bugging the other about the way they're spending money. And if they sit down and say, okay, you like your golf clubs and I like my shoes or whatever,
right.
That can really help where they realize that they understand the other better by discussing these issues.
Right. And the budget can be a tool to have those discussions. It doesn't have to be, you can't spend money here. It's just understanding you are spending this money and how it's being spent. And if you can see it and talk about it, you know, it may make more sense for a couple in a family to understand where their money's going. Is it, you know, when they see it in black and white like that, and they, oh, wow, I'm spending X amount of dollars going out to dinner every month. I didn't realize I was doing that. We need to change that. And that's part of the process of doing this monthly budget. Makes it more concrete, and people can react to it and make changes, make adjustments in their life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, just to be able to adjust the daily choices that they make. So moving on to college funds, you mentioned that can be a really big element for families with young children or kids approaching college age. Again, general thinking do you try to share with your clients?
Right. College, that's the big one right now. It used to be that for a family, buying their home was going to be their single largest expense they were going to have. Paying for college is now that largest expense people are coming across right now in their lifetime. And it's you know, studies are showing that the cost of college is increasing by an average of 6% a year, so it just keeps getting more and more expensive. And the importance of the college education is increasing as well. Just most jobs, the minimum requirement now for many of these highly sought-after professions is a college education. So just in a general sense, when we're talking to people about college education, we want to make sure people understand that they should not have their kids shy away from any particular school because of the sticker price. There are financial aid programs that are based on need, merit, athletic ability, music, artistic talent. There is money out there. You just got to know the process to go after some of it and to qualify for some of this money. So that's one of the things that we talk to people about, is how to position their financial life in order to qualify for the most amount of college. So when we're talking about these competing interests, can I spend money on college and retire? We want to help families spend as little money on college while still getting high quality education they're looking for and still have money left over for their other big expense coming down the line, which is funding their own retirements.
That makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really realized that college is a bigger expense than the home in many cases.
Many cases now, right?
Yeah, that's brilliant to position yourself to try to take advantage of the various ways that it can be financed. It doesn't have to come all from the parent. I've always believed that if a child really belonged in a particular college, there'd be a way to get there, because the colleges want those kids.
Absolutely.
And they'll put together a package that will allow the child to go. And then, of course, the child has to perform.
Has to perform as expected to keep it, right.
Right. One other topic I'd like to get your feedback on is job security. Are you able to help people have some sense of what they should be looking for as far as earning their earnings?
When I'm thinking about job security, I think that income is a necessity to run a family. So when I'm thinking of job security, I'm thinking about, is someone afraid they're going to lose their job? And when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking that any career advisor that I've ever spoken to will talk to people about building their network now. So if you need to call on help in the middle of a job search, you will already have your well dug, as a matter of speaking. You'll have the resource available to go out and find a job as quickly as possible. We touched on it a little earlier. We're encouraging people to have a safety net in the form of a savings account to weather these types of storms.
That makes a whole lot of sense, because you know, they say now that a young person coming out of college will be changing jobs at least 5 to 7 times, and having that network could be critical.
Right. It really makes sense to to already have that in place because, yeah, it's just not when you lose, you know, some people have lost jobs in the last 5 years. It just happens. But even when you're looking to advance, you know, the ways to fund college and the ways to fund retirement are you're going to work to earn money. So if having that network in place to become a better income earner is imperative as well.
Very cool. We're up on another break, okay. Tom. So listeners, please hang on. We're going to get some more good tips from Tom Weimer.
Find out which guests are being featured this week. Read our network press releases and read the blog posts from your favorite hosts. Go to iradioblog.com today, powered by the Voice America Talk Radio Network.
What if thinking just a little bit differently about your daughter could make her more respectful, a better student, or less vulnerable to peer pressure? What if a few simple changes in your words with your son could make him more responsible, a better listener, or more fun? Five-time author and dynamic speaker Randy Rolfe has answers to your questions about family matters, whether it's your kids, parents, schools, health and diet issues, finances, or life balance. Randy can help you. The World Ambassador for Family, Randy Rolfe has been helping families since 1985 to minimize the stress and heartache of modern living. To access some great and free downloadable tools, to get one of her internationally acclaimed books, or to have her inspire and excite your next event as your featured speaker, go to www.randyrolfe.com. That's RandyRolfe.com. Your family will thank you.
The Total Education Network is the only network that airs shows 7 days a week on various stations. Please go to our website, www.totaltutor.org, for more information about the exciting shows coming to the network. The show brings the total education experience. We interview interesting guests, have lively debates, and provide educational news and tips for parents. The Total Education Network, the talk shop for parents, teachers, and administrators. That's www.totaltutor.org.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
You're tuned in to Family First with your host, Randy Rolfe. To speak to Randy or her guests, please call 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to randyrolfe@randyrolfe.com. Now, back to Family First.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Thomas Weimer, who's a financial advisor with 1847 Financial in the Philadelphia area. And he's done a lot of arbitrage and very advanced kinds of financial consulting. But he has a passion for helping individuals and families really get their life on track and towards achieving their goals and dreams. And he's given a lot of good insight about the general kinds of things that families need to consider around college and retirement and investments and even their monthly budget and their job income. So I wanted to ask you, Tom, do you hear about parents whose young kids after college are coming home and then their food budget goes up and they don't know whether to charge their child rent or that kind of thing? How do you recommend they deal with some of those expanding and contracting families issues?
This is another one we file under the, these are going to be personal family decisions. And it's another thing that needs to be discussed, and it's going to be part of their monthly budget. It needs to be accounted for and fit into this budget. So it depends on many different factors, and I oftentimes, I guess, referee, for lack of a better word, some of these discussions, but it does come down to their personal judgment as to whether they want to start charging rent or, you know, other activities, even for younger kids who are still in the house, is, you know, should we pay X amount of dollars to go to soccer camp this year. Some of the, you know, these expenses are rising as well. And these are all family decisions that, and they need to sit down, know what their budget numbers are and how they can fit these into their budget. And it's, some of those discussions can be interesting.
Yes, I can imagine that, and it, I think it could be very helpful just to have what you call a referee, of just for you just to say, oh, this is a personal choice that you need to make. You can go either way. It depends on your priorities, your values, and the money you have available. But just to have someone put it in that frame, I think, could help families have that discussion.
Right. Yeah, that is definitely. That usually is not a money discussion. That is usually a family values discussion. And those are interesting.
So, oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So I wanted to ask, how do you think parents can best get across to their kids the idea and practice of fiscal responsibility and planning and budgeting, but also being having a positive attitude towards money? So what's your recommendation for that? You have an 8-year-old son, so I imagine he's already getting aware of money coming and going. So what do you think parents should do as far as educating their kids?
I think it's important to talk about to kids about money, to have them understand that things do cost money and that parents do go to work to earn money so that you can afford where you live. You can afford to buy the things that a family buys. I think when it becomes age appropriate, and that's, I guess, depending on what the parent feels and each individual child, they mature at different ages. But allowing kids to manage money, whether it's money that they're going to earn through allowance that should be earned through chores at the house, or whether it's just the money that they receive at Christmas or on their birthdays through family members. And when I say manage, I mean letting them understand that money can earn interest in a passbook savings account, and also letting them save towards a goal, whether it be something frivolous like a toy or whether they're saving so that they can go to soccer camp or band camp or anything else that a family feels that they should be paying for on their own. It allows them to experience the process. It allows them to learn from mistakes. And as we all know, it's best to learn from mistakes when stakes are small. And this is a good way for kids to learn that.
I love that, because I really feel it's important for parents to give kids guidance, but also let them make some choices so that in the protective environment of the family still, they can make some small mistakes and learn the easier way rather than learn big lessons later.
Right, yeah, it's funny to have them buy a toy that they no longer play with in a month and then go back a month and have that conversation. You decided to buy this, and now it's no longer being played with. How do you feel about that decision? What happened there? And it's a learning experience for kids, and that's a process that they need to go through.
Right, right. That's very good. Many families assume that they don't even have enough money to benefit from a financial planner or even a CPA. What do you think are the benefits of looking one up, even if you are living month to month and you're not even thinking about retirement?
Good question. I think working with a financial planner can help you clarify your goals, help you establish a plan, and to get to whatever goals you decide are important to you. Even if you're right now living month to month, maybe a financial advisor can help you find some money in your budget that could be spent in better ways, could be used more efficiently. They can look at how you're investing in your 401k, how you're spending money in your insurances, and help you come up with a better plan just with how you're spending that money now and using that more efficiently to help you go in a right direction. I guess additionally, if you've got kids approaching college age, a financial advisor can help you understand that financial aid process and help you position some financial assets.
So they don't need to be embarrassed that they don't have a huge fund to buy into a stock market or real estate or something.
Right. Just like a lot of professions, there are a lot of financial advisors that will say they only work with someone who makes X amount of dollars or has X amount of assets to invest. And there are financial advisors who can still go out there because of what they do and work with people who don't meet any type of income or assets under management hurdle and still provide some valuable services for them. So that's, they can ask friends, they could ask other local business people like their CPA who might be a good fit for them in that regard.
That's good. And the initial meeting doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg then.
Right, and that's something you want to ask up front. Some financial advisors do charge a fee to put a financial plan together, and that's a question you're going to want to ask someone before you go in to meet with them.
Okay, and what should families be looking for in when they're choosing an advisor? You said getting a referral from an accountant or a friend. What should they be looking for when they first for a referral or when they first meet with the advisor?
Right. I think once you've sat down and met with an advisor, I think the single most important thing to consider is that you want to work with an advisor that's making every single effort to understand what your current position is, how you got there, and wants to know and wants to talk about what your goals and needs are for the future. If they're not doing that, they're probably there trying to sell you some sort of product, and the financial planning process should be about those three things: understanding what your current position is, how you got to that position, and where you want to go. And a financial advisor should be able to help you to get there.
I just heard on the radio about the financial planner who was, I think he was prosecuted because he had a free dinner and he sold exactly the same product to 95% of the people who attended that dinner. And that was used as evidence to say he wasn't really looking out for the client.
Yeah, that's someone just looking to sell one product. I wouldn't call that person a financial planner.
No. So, what are some tips that you could offer families right now to help make 2010 a stronger year for them financially?
I think the biggest thing someone could do is create a plan. Whether you're starting with at the basic building blocks, building a monthly budget for yourself or your family. But beyond that would be creating a plan for a goal that you want to reach in 10 years financially. And I would say there's a lot of people, resources out there. A financial planner can help you do that. And I think probably much more than once a year, you want to monitor yourself on the progress of this plan, and this will help you establish very good financial habits. And once you have good financial habits, you'll see great results.
So you recommend having a 10-year picture, 5-year picture, year's picture, and then reviewing it quarterly or something like that?
Right. It could be, you might be just reviewing quarterly or annually, semi-annually with your financial advisor. But a family, at a minimum, on a monthly basis, should be looking at how they've done against their monthly budget. Are they spending more than they thought they were spending and making adjustments? It's not always we got to stop spending in that one area. It may make sense. The price of gas went up again, so their budget for their automobiles has gone up. How are they going to react to that? Do they need to cut it in another area, or is it come out of savings? It's important to see where you're going. Because if you don't look at that, it's going to be 6 months, a year later, and you're going to wonder where your savings went because you didn't make any type of adjustment.
Yeah, that can sneak up on people.
Yes,
and there is so much to consider now. So what have you noticed as far as people planning for their Christmas expenditures. Apparently, people are going into debt again because they say incomes haven't gone up, but the Christmas spending has gone up, the holiday gifting. That should be part of the budget too, I assume?
Absolutely, yeah. Hopefully, a lot of people have throughout the year put aside a little bit of money each month for this purpose and not running up credit card bills again. But yeah, that's how I would advise people to take a look at it. We should be spending within our means, and running up credit card bills does not help us with that.
Right, right. And people are so concerned about that the nation isn't setting very good example about spending within our means. So, to survive and thrive as a family, you do need to do that. We're almost done, so I want to make sure people know how to find out more about your work and how to get in touch. Do you ever counsel over the phone or steer people to someone you know in their state, or how does that work?
We can do that. Either way, we'd be able to help people in that regard. The best ways to reach me, I guess the three main ways I'll give you, my firm's website is www.1847financial.com. My email is T. Weimer, spelled W-E-I-M-E-R, at 1847financial.com. And my direct line is 610-771-1025.
1025. Okay. So I think I just want to ask one more question here about give us an example of maybe a conversation you've had with your own son about relating to money or buying Christmas gifts for a cousin or something like that?
I think the one I touched on earlier was probably the most prescient, was having a conversation with buying a gift with money he received for a birthday present. And he played with it for a couple of days, and it's one of those fad gifts, toys that 8-year-old boys play with, and they're on to the next one, 2 months later. And we had a conversation about it, and I think the light bulb went on. He says, oh, yeah, like that, I haven't touched that in, a month now, and that was, a life or death situation. I just had to have that not more than 3 months ago. So having him understand that toys like that are maybe not the best thing to spend money on. That's what he's into and wants to play with. But having him understand that the difference between something that's going to be around for a while and something that he's going to play with two or three times with his money. And I think he did a really good job of understanding that, I think.
That's really neat. And that's it's like an adult, buying the hottest, crazy new fashion and, 4 months later, they're like, why did I buy that? So he's learning that now. That's wonderful. Well, thank you for all your great insights and tips. This is Thomas Weimer, financial advisor in the Philadelphia area with 1847 Financial. And I really appreciate you giving us the time, Tom, and all the great suggestions for organizing your money for a prosperous 2012. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Randy.
You're welcome. Have great holidays.
You too.
Thanks.
We hope you've enjoyed Family First. Please tune in to our program every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, to join your host, Randy Rolfe, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. The weekend is here. Enjoy it with your family. And we hope to see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.